Good morning. I must admit, as I look around, despite the reason some of you may be here, I'm almost inclined to call for the yeas and nays. Inasmuch as this is almost like old home week with Congressman Jacobs and Congressman Roush, both of whom have had the opportunity to serve in this body, we appreciate all of your being here. Let me first introduce the 11th District Congressman, Andrew Jacobs, and the 4th District Congressman, Ed Roush. We have, or they have, I should say, the proxies of two other of their colleagues, John Bradamus from the 3rd District and Lee Hamilton from the 9th Congressional District, all four of whom have some time ago endorsed the candidacy of Senator Muskie of Maine for President of the United States. I also think it's most appropriate to introduce, for some of you who may not have yet met, Mr. Bob McKinney, who is the chairman of the Hoosiers for Muskie, who is here and is running the senator's campaign in Indiana. Let me say to my colleague, Senator Muskie, and some of the visiting dignitaries in the out-of-state press corps, we're glad to welcome all of you here to the warmer political climes of Indiana. Senator, we appreciate your taking the time to be with us. And I have a brief statement that I would like to make before introducing Senator Muskie. When I announced the termination of my own exploratory efforts for the presidency last October because of personal family responsibilities, I stressed that these efforts of mine had been made because of my deep concern over the problems which confronted our country. At that time, American sons were still dying in Southeast Asia to support a government where only one man was qualified to run for president. 5.5 million American workers couldn't find jobs. Inflation made each paycheck in meaningful terms worth less. The seeds of division and hatred were being used as tools of a political strategy. Confidence in government and in governmental officials at all levels continued to diminish. Today, it's 5 months later. Yet any reasonable examination would find that these problems continue. And although I have withdrawn from consideration as a presidential candidate, I cannot withdraw from the responsibility I have to cooperate with others in search of a more responsible national leadership. Now, some have suggested that the most politically expedient thing for me to do would be to take no position in the confusing struggle which is now being waged for the Democratic presidential nomination. Yes, the Sunshine Patriots are prepared to run for cover and hide. I have no intention of running for cover and hiding. I am concerned that we have far too much political expediency already today, and we as Democrats are not going to win the presidency, nor will we deserve to win it, unless we are willing to stand up and be counted for what we believe is right, let the political chips fall where they may. I've carefully studied the records of all those candidates seeking the Democratic presidential nomination, and I have to say that I could enthusiastically support several of these individuals as a clearly better alternative to President Richard Nixon. But if we are to win, we must nominate the best possible candidate, a candidate who is qualified to serve as President of the United States, with all that that means, a candidate who is right on the issues, a candidate who has the broad-based support necessary to win, and a candidate who can unite the Democratic Party after our convention in Miami. In my judgment, Senator Edmund S. Muskie of Maine is such a man. And I intend to vote for Senator Muskie in the Indiana Democratic primary this May. I've worked with Ed Muskie for 10 years now in the United States Senate. I've personally witnessed his leadership abilities. He's been the congressional leader, just to name one field, the congressional leader in the all-important area of a better environment. When nobody cared about clean air and clean water and solid waste, Ed Muskie was in the trenches providing leadership for this vital battle. He is honest, he's fair-minded, he's right on the issues, and if enough of us lend a hand, he can beat Richard Nixon in November. This is my personal decision. This, of course, is my personal decision. It's not a quick nor an easy one. And of course, each Democratic voter, as he or she goes into that voting booth, must make the decision for himself or herself as to who is the best candidate to be President of the United States. But let me say unequivocally, I do not want another 1968 when division within the Democratic Party elected Richard Nixon. I want to win in 1972. And the hard facts are that the Democratic Party cannot win if it becomes divided into warring camps where personal candidate preference becomes more important than the goal of restoring responsible national leadership. The Democratic Party cannot win if we sit silent and permit one nominee or our nominee to be chosen on the basis of one issue after one primary, an issue which really has emotional appeal, but no direct relationship at all on the qualities needed to be President of the United States. We must nominate, the candidate who can command the greatest respect and the broadest support from American voters this fall. We need a president that people can trust, and Ed Muskie is such a man. We need a president who can bring America together again, and Ed Muskie is such a man. We need a president who is his own man, not beholden to some special interest, and Ed Muskie is such a man. We need a president who possesses both intelligence and compassion, who feels and cares deeply. And Ed Muskie is such a man. And I intend to work with him and with you to make 1972 a Democratic year here in Indiana and throughout these United States of America. And it's my privilege to introduce to you my friend, my colleague, and the next President of the United States, Senator Ed Muskie of Maine.
Thank you, Birch, for your support, and thank you for that eloquent statement of what this election is all about. In 1954, within 2 days after my first astonishing victory as governor of Maine, I was privileged to come to Indianapolis to make my first political speech, by first I mean the first in my lifetime, outside my own state. It was in connection with a Democratic Jefferson Jackson Day dinner, with such luminaries as Adlai Stevenson, undertaking the task of putting together a victory in 1956 after the disastrous defeats of 1952. It took longer than we expected. It wasn't until 1960 that we ultimately elected John Kennedy as president. So I always remember that beginning of my national career here in Indiana. And I've come to know and to respect many of your outstanding Democratic leaders. And I'm proud to have Birch Bayh by my side as we go on into the struggles of this election year. No senator has distinguished himself more. No candidate for president has distinguished himself more in the past year. Among Democrats and non-Democrats across this country, as one dedicated to the highest ideals of humanism and libertarianism here in this country. He has a great future ahead of him. I hope to be part of that future. And I'm proud to have him cast his lot with my future this year. Grateful, too, to Ed Rausch and Andy Jacobs, who are here, and John Brademas and Lee Hamilton, who could not be here, for the support they gave me publicly here in their home state. Since I've been asked about my reaction to the Florida primary, I ought to find a way to give it to you all at once. As I think of it, I think of one of my favorite Maine stories of the shortest will in the history of Maine probate law. It's one sentence, 10 words. Being of sound mind and body, I spent it all. Well, being of sound mind and body, I did not spend it all in Florida. And we've got plenty of fight left for Illinois, Wisconsin, Indiana, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and down this primary trail. Because our objective, as Birch has put it so eloquently this morning, is to defeat Richard Nixon next November. I am running for the presidency. I'm going to fight for it. And I know that in order to get there, I must defeat George Wallace and Richard Nixon. Together, they defeated our Democratic Party in 1968. And George Wallace has publicly gloated over that fact since that time. Together, therefore, they are responsible for the policies that have given us continued inflation, rising unemployment, and the failure to end a war that has drained us of the resources necessary to do the tasks we face here at home. I say together, they are responsible for what it is that we must defeat in this presidential election year of 1972, and I mean to do it. To do it, I need your help. I need the help of Birch Bayh, your distinguished congressman, and every voter of this great Hoosier State, who understands that what this country is looking for is the politics of decency and opportunity and hope. I read that in the faces of all Americans, yes, including the people of Florida. Americans understand that our needs are the same, whoever we are. We need jobs, the hope for better ones. We need good schools and the hope for better ones. We need decent neighborhoods, safe streets, opportunity. We all want them. And that's the kind of an America we want to build. That's the kind of an America we've postponed building for 3 long years, thanks to Wallace and Nixon. And we're going to begin that job again next November, not because Ed Muskie is seeking the presidency, not even because Birch Bayh and these congressmen are supporting him in his pursuit of the presidency, but because that's the kind of a country our people want. That's the kind of a country our people can have. And that's the kind of a country we're going to give them by electing the right leadership next November. So let's get on with the struggle. Let's get on with the job. Let's get on with the fight of building the kind of an America that brought the forebears of everybody in this room to these shores. Country of decency, opportunity, and hope. That's my dream, and it's going to be my fight until we reach the end of the line. And I think the end of the line is the White House next November. Thank you very much. I'm sorry. Senator Birch had referred to the...